stories, with people's permission, of course, then talk to them again later, usually by phone. And I always change the names and often the places where the stories happen, just to give the storyteller anonymity. Having said that, the stories in this collection all happened where stated. I decided to include the actual locations because I think a dedicated person could figure them out anyway, as Yellowstone National Park has some very distinct regions. In addition, I think people should know what they may possibly encounter when in the park's remote regions, which is where many of these stories took place. Yellowstone National Park covers over 2.2 million acres, and the thoroughfare region has been noted as being the most remote area in the lower 48 states, based on distance from the nearest road as the crow flies, which is around 28 miles there. Yellowstone has very strict regulations on who can hike where and when, with only a limited number of backcountry permits being issued at any given time. It therefore only makes sense that an elusive creature like Bigfoot would find the park a great place to live, as long as it could survive the region's brutal winters. Other than Alaska and parts of Canada, Yellowstone probably is one of the few places left where a creature like Bigfoot could walk freely for the most part. And walk freely they do, as you'll soon see while reading these stories. I hope you enjoy them, and please don't let the scary ones make you fearful of the park, as it's one of our country's greatest treasures. Where else can you go hiking in the middle of a 50-mile-wide active caldera, seeing all kinds of wildlife in their natural state, maybe even Bigfoot? So sit back with a cup of hot chocolate in a big comfy chair or by a campfire and enjoy. And as one story says, hike your own hike, but keep your eyes and ears open for America's most unique and elusive creature, Rusty. 1. The Winter Keeper. I was in Livingston, Montana one summer's day, having just finished guiding some clients on the Yellowstone River there. Livingston is a big fly-fishing town, as well as an historic railroad town and the original main entrance to Yellowstone National Park. I decided to go eat my lunch there, at the old station that had once served the first visitors to the park, who came by train. It was just my luck that one of the big blue Montana Rail Link engines was nearby, waiting to help an incoming grain train cross nearby Bozeman Pass. The engineer was standing near the engine, and we got to talking over the whoop sound of the engine's air compressor. His name was Luke, and he told me he used to work in Yellowstone. Well, one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I'd been invited to dinner at Luke's house, his wife being a fantastic cook. The evening took an unexpected turn when he told me the following story. Rusty.
My name is Luke, and I've been told that when I was a kid I was pretty rambunctious. But let me tell you, 10 years in Yellowstone National Park as a winter keeper pretty much beat all that out of me. Winter keepers are the people who keep the buildings in the park from being crushed by snow. More on that in a minute. When I worked there, I would work my tail off all winter, then it would take a whole summer of fishing at my parents' place to get enough energy to go do it again the following winter. What a life! Winters in Yellowstone, and summers fishing the Madison River near Ennis, Montana. It doesn't get much better than that. I was 28 when I quit the winter keeper job as it got too hard for me, mostly mentally, as the isolation was brutal. And, well, I hate to admit it, but there were things there that I just didn't want to think about anymore. I got my job with Montana Rail Link here in Livingston, working on a railroad. The railroad's a steady, good-paying job, but man, I sure did miss being in Yellowstone at first. I would look south towards the park from the rail yards and wish I was down there, but I guess not bad enough to go back. And I'll get a good retirement from MRL, which I never would have with seasonal work. So I guess I'm glad I quit winter keeping. I was barely 18 when I started in the park, and I got the job only because my dad had worked there for the road department and knew everybody. I'm pretty sure he thought it would keep me out of trouble, and believe me, it did, 'cause there's no trouble you can get in.